Navigate the retail revolution with actionable insights into consumer spending, powered by Affinity Solutions. By analyzing data from over 140 million cards, Affinity Solutions showcases consumer purchase behavior with unprecedented clarity. Seize the opportunity to reshape your strategy with accuracy, execute with precision, and measure with confidence. Affinity Solutions equips you to outperform in today's competitive landscape. Step into the future of retail analytics with Affinity Solutions today. Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, December 13th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Affinity Solutions. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. Today's episode topic is how retail data helps inform campaigns. Let's meet today's guests. Joining me for today's episode, we have special guest, Chief Business and Marketing Officer at Affinity Solutions, Damian Garbaccio. Welcome to the pod, Damian.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Appreciate you being here. And also joining us is podcast regular analyst Ariel Fager. Hey, Ariel.
Hi, happy to be a regular now.
Yeah, I think this is, what, your third or fourth? That makes you a regular.
I want to say, yeah.
Okay, let's get started with free sample. Our Did You Know segment, where I share a fun fact, tidbit, or a question. Today, I am bombarding both of you with a little quiz. Do either of you know what the first item sold on Amazon in July 1995 was?
I do not. I can guess a book, but I do not know.
I'm going to make a guess of the Bible.
Okay, spot on with a book, and honestly, decent guess with the Bible. You're pretty far off, but I like the line of thinking. It was a book. It was specifically Fluid Concepts and Creative Analogies, Computer Models of the Fundamental Mechanisms of Thought. When I Googled this book, the first thing that came up was an Amazon link informing me that I can buy the book for $15. The book, which was written in conjunction with my alma mater, the University of Michigan, go blue, examined whether computers can be made to think like humans. I think that's particularly interesting because nearly 30 years later, Amazon is still kind of pondering the same question.
I would never have guessed that title.
I actually was about to guess that exact. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. You're familiar with this work, I imagine.
I mean, I only read it every day. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. It does sound fascinating. I did more reading into the book than I probably should have, but ultimately all of the data in the book would go over my head.
So it just goes to show that the conversation around AI and what it can and cannot do has been happening for a long time and probably still will.
I thought it was fascinating that a lot of what's in that is the same questions. Obviously, we've made huge advancements, but we're also like, is the computer thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not actually here right now. It is a AI situation.
Yeah, and we're so happy to have you, Damian Bot. Okay, now it's time for our next segment. Retell me this, retell me that. Where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today's topic is how retail data informs campaigns. Retail media will be a $109 billion industry by 2027. That's according to our recently updated forecast, where we actually upped that number a bit. And that $109 billion is up more than double from $46 billion this year. One reason retail media is so powerful is purchase data, which helps advertisers reach the right consumers. Ariel, can you talk a little bit about how purchase data can inform campaigns?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the biggest strengths of purchase data is that it shows what people are actually doing. You know, we can survey consumers all we want about what they intend to do or plan to do, but purchase data really shows where they're putting their dollars. And that's extremely helpful for advertisers when they're thinking about how to either, you know, incentivize people to continue those shopping patterns, to continue to buy their products, or to have them switch from another competitor vendors' products. And also, you know, it helps show who in what region is buying what product, so they know where to put their money and their dollars. So really, it's all about optimizing and being able to grow sales incrementally, which is super important to advertisers right now.
Yeah, I think purchase data is particularly interesting when you compare it with like demographic, geographic data. You can reach everyone 18 to 49 in a given area, maybe not everyone, but you can reach those folks. But if they've bought diapers in the last 2 months, then you're far more likely to reach parents than have a bunch of sort of wasted ads on people that do not have children.
I just saw a data point that, you know, 44% of retail media decision makers say that one of the leading ways that retail media can be improved is by increasing the line of sight into consumer shopping or point of sale data. And that's according to a June 2023 survey from the IAB. So, you know, advertisers are really looking to have better, more accurate data, more real-time data, and that helps them to inform their campaigns better.
Yeah, I think retail real-time data is a really interesting point, because if you have a consumer that has certain shopping behaviors, you can inform that campaign as it is happening or mid-flight. Damien, do you have more to say about why real-time data is so important?
Yeah, I mean, to echo a lot of what was said before, it's critical if we want to advance and really create modern retail. And to echo the point, it's about optimization. I mean, it's optimizing a variety of things, because retail and consumption, it's not static. It's a living, breathing, iterative process. I mean, it's really like a consumer story, you know, or often a mix of or a series of short stories with the characters consistently changing and evolving. So there's price, which could be the hero or the villain, maybe. There's location, there's brand, there's marketing, what mood you're in, the media you're watching. So all of these things are critical and inform and provides endings to these consumer stories. And an affinity, you know, we like to say affinity, we are what happens. We are that ending of the story. So because it's the ultimate purchase, and then the story starts again. So fast, accurate data helps retailers. It's with insights. It allows them to pivot swiftly with precision and confidence, and sort of puts in the backseat the set it and forget it approach to how we did things in the past. Modern marketing demands that tools be real time, that purchase be timely, because it'll inform a variety of other things down the road. So as we like to say here at Affinity, immediacy is critical. And we take this very seriously. Affinity's delivery platform for our data is called Comet, which stands for Commerce Metrics, which is really the ability for us to provide those insights in a very fast manner to retailers within 24 to 48 hours from a network of 140 million credit and debit cards. And not only doing that, but doing that in a way that's privacy-centric, with consumer consent. So that is really the future of retail for us, and what we feel for the market is getting that information fast and allowing retailers to make decisions, iterate, and optimize.
Yeah, I love that example of retail advertising as storytelling, or as working with the characters, because advertisers, brand marketers, obviously talk a lot about telling a story, but we don't really think about who the characters are in that story. And the character isn't the folks in the advertisement. The character is the consumer.
Correct.
Yeah. And something, you know, Damien touched on is privacy centric, which obviously is, you know, going to become increasingly important. So I think, you know, the data partners like Affinity Solutions, where you can work with someone who is getting data in privacy compliant ways, is, you know, is going to be really key for advertisers going forward.
Yeah. And to just state explicitly, one of those reasons it's increasingly important is because we are now 2 weeks away from the start of the end of the third party cookie, which obviously has advertisers thinking about accuracy, thinking about how their data can be accurate, how accurate it can be. Damien, how do we know that real-time data is accurate, and how can we make sure we're using it in the right way?
Yeah, well, it's a great point you just made about a bunch of different data sources that maybe have been used over the last 10 years sort of going away by either regulatory, privacy, or technology reasons. And so accuracy is important. I'm sure everyone thinks they have the best data, but really the proof is in the purchase, so to speak. The great data value hinges on two kind of critical factors. It's accuracy and it's the application of that data. Now, you need to start with obviously what we think is, you know, a deterministic, true data set, the credit and debit card purchase, I would like to say that the, you know, the best proxy for a sale or a purchase is a purchase. And so we have that information and, you know, getting away from the proxies and panel-based measurement that was used historically that were proxies for the market. That was sort of the then. The now is advancements in technology are enabling a variety of new opportunities. We're able to manage consumer behaviors at scale. Again, we're not just inferring, this is deterministic data at scale. So us saying and curating that data in a extremely accurate way, we can say that, but then we also have to have the market know that that data is critical for us. And Comet, as I mentioned, our platform consists of actual consumer transaction data. So it really provides a true reflection of the purchasing behavior and the reliability of our data. And we'll talk about in a little bit that the sources of sort of validation and verification in the space have anointed us for a lot of reasons as an extremely accurate pulse of retail today. And I don't think those data sets are going to be around, other data sets are going to be around over the next 3 to 4 years. I think there's going to be a receding of the tide and the best data sets that are most valuable are going to be left over.
Yeah, I love that the best proxy for a purchase is a purchase. I mean, it's best not to guess, using that parent example again, who is going to need baby food down the road. Maybe it's best to look now at who's buying pregnancy materials and make sure that you're working with the right consumer. Clearly, I'm very well versed in this, as I call them pregnancy materials, but I hope our listeners know, get the point here.
I actually, my family is very well versed in those, so I hear you.
All right. I want to zoom slightly back out before we move into our next half, which I want to talk again about retail media specifically. I feel that retail media is the future of advertising. I know that my eMarketer colleagues feel the same way. But retail media itself, it takes a lot more than just the retail media networks. You know, there's still the agency. There's still third parties that you're working with. It's owned by the retailer, but they aren't yet doing it all. So I want to talk a bit about what retail media networks don't have, what isn't there. Arielle, can you start on this?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the greatest things about retail media networks is their first-party data, but it's also kind of an issue because their data doesn't extend outside of their four walls or, you know, their digital four walls, you know. So a lot of times they're not necessarily going to have information data from competitors or, you know, who's shopping at a completely different retailer or in a different category. So that's something where I think third parties can really help fill in those gaps and help advertisers get a better, a more fuller picture of what consumers are actually doing.
Yeah. I mean, especially important as the retail media landscape gets more crowded, because right now Amazon does own 75% of retail media spend. So they have a lot of data on a lot of consumers, obviously, but that share is shrinking and the whole pie is getting bigger. So yeah, it's important to look outside those walls. Anything to add, Damian?
Well, no, it's just that's a great point. And that's where Affinity helps in massive ways, because typically the first party data in the retail media networks is somewhat sound, not always. We certainly can add to that, given that we essentially credit and debit is the first party data. But the ability to look at every transaction, again, just to, again, echo outside the walls, but also both online and offline transactions. That's a great sort of other point to make, is definitely the ability to see both of those and to understand the interaction between both of those, from very niche shops and categories to big box, is critical. And so not only just understanding, again, what you're doing, but it's understanding what people are doing outside of your walled garden, so to speak, and understanding the competitive shopping behaviors, cross-channel spending, geographic trends, all those things that are critical.
Yeah. And those walled gardens can be kind of small when it comes to retail media. I mean, so I would definitely say Amazon, huge, Walmart, huge, and they have that in-store data, in-store footprint as well. But when you work with like regional grocers, for example, you have really, really rich data, like loyal customers returning there 3 times a week. Maybe that's a little much, but twice a week. And that data is sort of in its own little box right now.
No, so that's a great point, because there is a very steep cliff that once you get out of the 1 or 2 or 3, there's a big drop. And I think the folks that are sort of in that mid to long tail will be sort of valuable and will be coming up the cliff and need to be empowered with data to ensure that their brand gets the value it needs.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's what I was going to say is, you know, the scaling of campaigns and the scaling of, you know, efforts is extremely important, I think, to connect the dots across all of the different retail media networks that advertisers are working with and be able to see at a kind of a higher level of what is performing and what is not. Again, I think that, you know, that's something that's really important to advertisers and, you know, that outside data can help connect those dots.
Yeah, Amazon owns 75% of the pie, but when the pie is $109 billion, that's still $25 billion on the table. All right, let's keep moving. Now it's time for pop-up rankings, where we take a look at specific examples and we rank them. Today, Damian, Ariel, and I will each discuss something we consider to be one of the most exciting retail media tech advancements right now. Damian, I'm going to let you go first with what you consider to be an exciting advancement.
Yes, well, thank you. And this may sound self-serving, and it is self-serving, but it's also a massive advancement for the retail industry. One thing that's very timely that I think is a massive advancement in retail is the CNBC NRF Retail Sales Monitor powered by Affinity Solutions. It's an announcement we made about a month ago. It is really geared towards reimagining the retail landscape and what has been used historically to be a pulse or a benchmark or a tracker for the retail industry. So together with the NRF and the Affinity data, we're able to make this amazing, iterative, living and breathing monitor that really captures with our consumer purchase data the health of retail with speed and depth and massive scale. And it's really a contrast to what has been used historically within retail, which is census data, which again is a snapshot on a monthly basis. So we're really excited about the partnership, not only with NRF, who's sort of anointing and validating and verifying the value of our consumer purchase data, but also allowing us to get that data in the hands of retailers to help inform their businesses and then use CNBC, which is a great partner, as a megaphone by which to not only talk about macroeconomic trends, but also to get the word out that there's a new valuable tool out there to help retail understand the market.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Our forecasts change several times a year, so I can't imagine how much more useful it is to have data that changes far more often than that about specific shoppers. Okay, Ariel, what is a retail media tech advancement that's on your radar right now?
So I'm going to say, so I feel like I'm always breaking the rules on these.
This podcast exists to break the rules.
I'm going to say something that's not tech, but has tech related advancements. I guess we'll say it that way. So I'm going to talk about measurement. And I think that, you know, it's not a new topic. Measurement in retail media has been talked about for, you know, the last couple of years. But I think kind of starting with, you know, the IAB and the Media Rating Council introducing their guidelines back in September, there's kind of been a momentum around measurement and how retail media networks and advertisers can work together to kind of, you know, understand performance across all different networks and channels. And so, you know, there's been a few different like emerging tech solutions that I've seen, you know, including tools to help advertisers optimize their budgets across channels and networks, to also, you know, tools that help measure viewability and invalid traffic, which is an increasing concern with advertisers. So there are definitely some tech advancements that are happening. And I think that it's really exciting because I think measurement is really going to unlock a lot of growth within retail media.
I definitely agree with you. There is a lot of potential there. I am interested to see how the retailers play nice and work together to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just to jump in there, great point, great value, great points, I should say, plural, and great value retail media networks. But that goes back to how can they improve their value and improve the accuracy and attribution that they play. That's a very one-to-one relationship. So if someone goes to a Target or to an Albertsons or to a Safeway and buys XYZ item, that's great. You can tie that back to retail media or media in general or a creative. But you don't know, did that person buy five of those things at a competitor? And so that, when you start to bring those things together and have a data set that crosses and technology that crosses some of those boundaries, you're going to get more value out of your measurement and attribution.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. To bring it back to this parent example, if I'm Gerber and I know that someone bought baby food, I don't necessarily care that they bought baby food at Albertsons. I care that they bought baby food. And so obviously it's useful to me where to make that sale. But what's most important is making that sale.
Yep. Sarah, do you have a recent tech excitement?
Thank you for teeing me up, Ariel.
I can't wait for this.
Mine is the diversification of retail media ad types, which I think is really exciting. So, like, this is something that we talk about a lot, but retail media a couple years ago was all about search advertising, and it's still all about search advertising. But display ad spend is going to grow by 42% this year, and then in the mid to high 20s the following years through our forecast. And what's happening there is a lot of different ad types, different offsite ad types, partnerships with CTV, partnerships with social media. And CTV in particular is exciting to me because we have partnerships across the board with Roku and with Walmart and with Amazon owning their own media channels. So I'm definitely interested in how ads become more shoppable. Walmart is doing something kind of cool with Roku where they are linking rom-coms and social commerce together in shoppable ads. We're seeing different hubs appear around the famed storied Roku City that have similar ads. And when I was watching Thanksgiving football, I saw a bunch of ads that were for places like DoorDash that were like, buy this item right now. So there's a lot of encouragement, a lot of urgency to get people to shop. And I'm really interested in what the creatives working within retail media have in store for us over the next 5 years.
Absolutely. I agree. It's fun, I think, to see kind of retail media stretch its legs a little bit and kind of, you know, find its stride where advertisers are experimenting and getting creative. And I'm really excited to see kind of what comes from these new formats and how consumers engage with them too.
Yeah. I think fantastic examples. And I just think that there's a big area of improvement if you've, speaking of which, watch CTV and see the same ad 15 times in a row.
Absolutely.
For something that,
yes.
You know, I don't know how many pickup trucks you plan to buy or how many Liberty Mutual Insurance forms you need to fill out, but it can get better in a lot of areas, and creative certainly in ad formats is one.
Well, Damien, we'll have to have you back on Behind the Numbers to talk about similar issues with CTV walled gardens.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. That is all we have time for today. So thank you so much for being here, Damien.
Thank you very much for having me. It was awesome.
And thank you, Ariel.
Thank you. Had a great time.
Please give us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow us on Instagram at Insider Intelligence. Thank you to our listeners and to Victoria, who edits the podcast. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Affinity Solutions. And tomorrow, join Marcus for another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily.